the Prince of Life. Ye killed the Prince of Life. Acts 3 and verse 15. The Bible is God's book, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher. The one about whom he teaches is the eternal Son of God, that he is the source and sustenance, the beginning and the end of the new spiritual life given to those who have come to believe in his name. The Lord Jesus is the Holy Spirit's criteria, his standard, his pattern, the one he makes us like unto. His work is not to speak of himself, nor that we should glory in gifts he gives unto us, but to mold and fashion us into the image of the Savior. Everything is ordered to that. In the background of our text, there is the story of the healing of a crippled man. The man could do nothing for himself, hence he was reduced to beggary, to utter destitution. But the word spoken by Peter and John was with power to heal, and healing brought a complete change to his lifestyle. When a crowd gathered, they would have made much of the apostles, but Peter at once directed their eyes away from themselves to the Lord, who alone should receive glory. Now notice the title given our Lord, the Prince of Life. One of the ways in which the Holy Spirit glorifies God's beloved Son is in the names and titles the Holy Spirit has given him. There may be more than 300 of such, and it takes a very great person to carry so many names and titles, especially when each of those names and titles really reflect his essential life and character. The titles given are the highest in the universe of God, and all are reflections of all that the Son of God is. In this particular instance, Peter describes our Lord as the Prince of Life. Such a title is not to be thought of as, for instance, the Prince of Wales. That is not the thought. The word prince is translated in other places as author or captain. But I think the best explanation is that of a pioneer. Prince means pioneer. What a revelation it must have been to the Jewish mind when Peter flung down the devastating indictment, "Ye killed the pioneer of life." It meant they had killed the only one who could lead them into the realm of eternal life. That is why Jewry has lost its way since the day they crucified him. How can anyone find their way through a trackless desert, which this world is, if they kill the only one who knows the way and can lead them through it? Now, in the second place, look at the issue facing us there. The Lord Jesus is the pioneer of life. That is the life of the ages, the life that is in himself. Our whole eternal well-being, both here and beyond the grave, is determined upon whether or not we have this life of his within us. Our own human life is corrupt because of sin. The very act of God in driving the first sinful man from any approach to the tree of life, which was really a presentation of Christ, shows that we cannot attain to that life on the ground of nature. The flaming sword is set against us. Genesis 3:24. We have no approach to eternal life on the ground of nature. It was for this reason that God, in matchless love, sent forth his beloved Son that we might have that life communicated to us through him. I am come, said our Lord, that they might have life. John 10 and verse 10. He came to give it because we did not have it. But in him is life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. John 20 and verse 31. But though he was the Lord of life and glory, he was crucified by the rulers of Jewry. His death is first charged to them because it was at their request and through their instigation and at their earnest solicitations that Pilate condemned him and delivered him to his soldiers to crucify him. Now in the third place, look at the hope of recovery. The Lord Jesus is ever the pioneer of life. He ever was that, and his resurrection from the dead, and his triumph over all the hierarchy of hell has made him that in a new way to us. Notwithstanding all the spite and malice of the Jewish rulers, their purposes in crucifying him came to naught. For they could not retain him under the power of death and under the shame and reproach of the cross. And the apostles were eyewitnesses of the Lord's resurrection, whom God raised from the dead, they said. He has now pioneered the way, not through life only, but through death also, as the pioneer. He is now leading many sons to glory, and all who are following are those who have been saved by his grace through faith in him. He is the leader of a glorious train. Think of the crippled man in the text. Through faith in the name of Jesus, he was put on his feet again, a miracle of recovery. He stood on his feet, praising and blessing God. That is a parabolic picture of the new life in Christ, which is given to heal our crippled souls. And whosoever believeth is given that life. John 3, 15 and 16. That is the person who believes, the poor man who believes, the young and old who believe, the learned and unlearned who believe, all who believe, of whatsoever race or condition, have communicated to their souls this eternal life which is in the Son of God. And being a company of such believers, we gather to remember what it cost our great pioneer to make that possible, and to praise him for making a way for us through life and death to the land of light and glory above. Oh, listen to the words of William Shirley. Sweet to the moment, rich in blessing, when before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. Here I rest in wonder, viewing all my sins on Jesus laid, and a full redemption flowing from the sacrifice he made. Here I find my hope of heaven, while upon the Lamb I gaze, loving much and much forgiven, let my heart o'erflow with praise. Lord, in ceaseless contemplation, fix my thankful heart on Thee, till I taste Thy full salvation and Thine unveiled glory see. William W. Shirley. Amen and amen.